Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, September 26, 2019, and our marine weather forecast, if you live here and you're looking out the window, you can tell that the weather has changed a bit. We have rain happening as we speak. Small craft advisory in effect through Saturday afternoon. And today in the forecast, west winds 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20, becoming northwest later on as that weather system spins through. 15 to 20 with gusts to 25. Wind waves from the northwest 4 feet high at 5 seconds apart. Northwest swells 10 feet at 12 seconds. That 10-foot threshold is what puts us over into the small craft advisory level. They're talking about winds, which are 20 to 30 knots. But when you get seas of 10 feet or higher, that can invoke a small craft advisory for hazardous seas as well. Chance of rain early in the morning, and swells will reach 11 feet tonight, which will definitely be in that small craft advisory range. Today we have a relatively small ship schedule. We have some cruise ships on the river. And so I'm thinking that maybe the closure of the Bonneville Dam locks is really affecting the comings and goings of wheat ships on the river for the moment. The locks should be open again next week, and we hope so, because that will, there's probably a kind of a backlog, a little bit of wheat that is not coming downriver to those silos at the ports where the ships can go. Those barges and tugs trying to bring the wheat down from inland west are stuck above the Bonneville Dam right now. They're waiting, kind of backing up there. And today we're going to hear more from Amanda Green. She is a Coast Guard surfman, one of only a dozen women in the U.S. Coast Guard who hold that highly qualified role. And she's one of those folks that if you get in trouble out on the water around here, she might be one of the people who comes to rescue you. So we're going to be talking today about conditions on the bar and how they train out there. It was such an interesting interview that I had with her. So can't wait to share that with you. But first of all, let's take a look at our ship schedule. We have 5 inbounders and 4 of them are cruise ships on a day like today. Wow. 2 inbounders and 3 in our two in our Astoria anchorages and 3 outbounders. So that's maybe about 10 ships total. So our first arrival in the river is the passenger vessel, the Regatta. She probably arrived maybe around 8 o'clock at the port of Astoria at Pier 1. She's arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's compared to the one we had earlier, the previous ship, which was about 1,000 feet long. She's about 600 feet long, so she's big, but not quite as towering as the other one that was here recently. So she is here for the day. The Coral Princess will arrive from Vancouver, British Columbia, and go into the Astoria anchorage around 10:30 a.m. today. So you'll see a big cruise ship anchored offshore. The Seven Seas Mariner will arrive around the same time and also head to Pier 1. So apparently they can handle two cruise ships at once if they are the right size. The Seven Seas Mariner is about 700 feet long, so not quite as absolutely massive as the Coral Princess is 1,000 feet long, so she's really big. You won't be able to miss her when she's out there in the anchorage. And another cruise ship, the Star Legend, is arriving from Seattle and headed for Portland, coming into the river about 10:30 p.m. So if you see the running lights of a cruise ship going by late in the evening, that ship is going up to Portland. Not really sure exactly why that's happening. The port of Portland is a cargo port, berth she's going to, so I'm not quite sure about that. But at any rate, we will have 4 cruise ships, if all goes as planned, on the river today. The Kerberos is arriving from China. She's a wheat ship headed for the Astoria anchorage. Also in our Astoria anchorage, we have the Vijayanagar. She's awaiting orders. She's a wheat ship. The African Loon is at the Rice Island anchorage awaiting orders. She, too, will eventually pick up wheat. The Nord Tokyo is headed out of Longview with wheat on board. The Eagle Arrow is leaving Portland with soda ash on board. She's leaving about 7:30 p.m. today. The Nord Tokyo will leave about noon. And the Sea Iris is leaving from Kalama at about 11 o'clock with wheat on board outbound. So there is, as I've said earlier, some sort of a backlog of wheat stored in silos at ports. And so like Kalama. And so they load until they run out, I assume. And then it'll be replenished when those locks open up again. Well, let's hear a little bit more from this interview I did with Amanda Green. She is Coast Guard surfman. She's a highly qualified person who is a rescuer. She's on those motor lifeboats. And so I was talking with her. Here's a clip from my interview with her, all about conditions on the Columbia River Bar, which can be quite deceptive. You'll hear my voice first, and then Amanda. I got to go out on motor lifeboats when the Elm came here. Mm-hmm. And they let me come on board with my recorder. And it was really, really neat. And I got to go out in the boat and then climb up a little pilot ladder into the ship. And it was just wonderful. But one of the things I noticed, it was a very calm on the bar. But even so, I could see that the boat, the person who was steering the boat was dealing with the current. He was maneuvering the boat even though the water was totally calm. And I could see that there were forces acting on the boat that were pretty formidable, even though the weather wasn't even bad. And it made me think, my gosh, when the weather's bad, it just must be. So you're dealing with all this stuff. And I've just maybe just wanted your reflections on what's going on out there for people.
So, yeah, so that's what makes the bar and this area so unique and fun to kind of operate the boats in. Like you were saying, even if it's a flat day, the ebb, once that ebb kicks up, it can be anywhere from 3 knots to about 6 knots. And that's challenges in itself. So we do a lot of two-boat training, which is training with our own crew members and coxswains and heavy weather coxswains. So we'll take two, either whether it be the 47-foot or the 29-foot, and we'll do tows with each other. And each tow is unique in itself. And that's what makes it fun. Like, you have to play the current, and you have to play where the wind's coming from. And especially when the environment kind of cranks it up a notch to heavy weather or surf.
And that was Amanda Green talking about what it's like to be a rescuer. She thinks it's fun to be out there and that when everything is breaking loose. She was talking about practicing tows, and that means that one of the primary functions that a rescue boat can do is tow another boat in. So they practice towing one another in difficult conditions so they can get that right. So there's sort of a multi-pronged approach in difficult situations. They can bring out an aircraft if they need it, of an airplane or a helicopter that can drop a rescue swimmer. They can rescue people, certainly with the motor lifeboats. And so the Coast Guard has quite a comprehensive approach to rescuing people, which is a good thing because a lot of people tend to need to be rescued here. I remember a few years ago, a Coast Guard person I interviewed told me that there's something like an average of one person a day, year-round, gets rescued by the Coast Guard. Here alone, that doesn't count the rest of the coastal waters of the U.S. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day. We'll hear more from Amanda Green tomorrow on The Ship Report.